This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody had a great week, and it sure was an interesting week in terms of what happened in the markets for gold, oil, even some of the moves in the conventional markets. We had a lot of data points that came out this week, and we will be trying to cover as much as we can in these 2 hours. We're also going to discuss a little bit about the upcoming referendum in Italy, as well as some other moves in the Eurozone that could have an impact on the markets and on the precious metals. To kick off the show, I am talking with our good friend Dan Oliver, president and founder of Myrmecan Research, based out of New York. Dan, we're going to start talking about precious metals stocks. These stocks have been under pressure since August, where it seems every news event, whether people thought it would drive the precious metal stocks higher or not, has actually hit the precious metal stocks and moved them down. But one interesting comment that you brought up to me off mic was that a lot of these companies financed at much higher share prices than they're currently at earlier this year, which means that they are cashed up, which is very, very good for these companies. Please explain why you think this is so significant.
Yeah, well, as we were discussing, you know, the tail end of that huge bear market we had, a lot of the companies, the development companies, all run out of cash. The operating companies had debt. The market was projecting they couldn't roll their debts. The equities were trading at very distressed prices. And the mantra from all the bankers was, oh, you have too much leverage. Of course, it was ironic because the bankers were the ones who gave them the leverage in the first place. But in any case, what's happened since the huge gold rise since the beginning of the year, especially in terms of the Canadian dollar and Australian dollar denominated debt, because gold's gone much higher in those currencies, is that the operating companies have used the opportunity to delever their balance sheets, or most of them have. And so they're much stronger from a balance sheet perspective than they were at the beginning of the year. And at the same time, the huge rise in the development company stocks, these little tiny penny stocks that had good assets but were left abandoned and marooned during the drawdown of gold after 2011, you know, use the opportunity to cash their balance sheets and restart their programs. And so as a result, you know, there was definitely some froth last summer. That's certainly come out of the market and the stocks moving down. But I don't think they'll go as low as they did before, even if gold takes a leg lower, because of this dynamic, because the operating companies are much more solid in terms of their balance sheets, and because the development companies are cashed up. And they're actually very resilient. You know, I mean, not all of them, certainly, but I was actually quite impressed by how many of the development companies during the bad period for gold furloughed their geologists, you know, pulled their horns in, conserved their cash, and managed to keep ownership of their asset. That's the real call option they have on gold. And so when the cycle finally turned, I mean, there's obviously some solution, but most of the capital structure are pretty intact, now cashed up against them. They had the opportunity now to last through a bear market if we have one. I don't think we will, but if we do have one, I do think they're much better positioned now to withstand than they were certainly a year ago.
Now, it is understandable that as the precious metals price continues to move down, that we would see a little bit more selling come into the stocks. But you are right, Dan, in the sense that companies have, A, been able to streamline their operations, save money, have some cost efficiencies, which is crucial because at the last peak when gold was around 1900, it seems like these companies could not spend money fast enough, unfortunately, but that's the way that market was. Right now, they have their operations, I think, in a much better situation, and a lot of these companies do have cash. But it all comes down, and a lot of people talk to this M&A type of activity. And while M&A, any sort of acquisition, is good for the shareholders because usually their company gets taken out at a premium, when you look at the gold market, it's unique in the sense that you actually don't get economies of scale when you're a big mining company and you have properties that are owned all over the place. Yes, it works if you have bordering properties with the same geology, but every gold deposit, every silver deposit is unique in its own way, and that's where the precious metals sector is unique in this sense. What do you think?
Well, yeah, as we were discussing earlier, you know, the way our banking system is set up is that it lends against assets. It wasn't always this way. Back in the 19th century, banks created credit against goods in the stream of production as opposed to how many assets you controlled. And what the result of our banking system is that the bigger you get, the better credit terms you get. And this is why in the private market, as companies get bigger, they get better credit terms, they can buy their rivals, they have a lower cost of capital, and so it drives large segments of the private market into monopolies. That's why you know, the food industry is owned entirely by Cisco. Two-thirds of the restaurants use them. Why, you know, there are only three manufacturers of light bulbs. Why there are only three healthcare companies that own 8% of the market. All these private silos of companies that are driven by the credit system. It's not, you know, Marx thought it was inherent feature of capitalism to drive towards monopoly. It isn't. It's the inherent feature of a bad banking system that's sustained by the government. And my point has been that the gold sector is actually immune to this because gold companies are not in competition with each other. You know, you and I with a shovel with a high enough grade deposit can show a better profit margin than Barrick, and there's nothing Barrick can do about it. You know, gold mining only produces 1.5% of the above ground supply every year, so it doesn't really matter how what scale you get, because you can't improve your profit margin against the guy who has a similar or better deposit than you have. And as you point out, you know, these big companies, once they own 30 mines in, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 different jurisdictions, you actually get diseconomies of scale trying to manage mines in Canada and Australia and Africa and Indonesia. I mean, you're flying around all the vice presidents for each of their memos. It becomes sort of a mess, and the financing doesn't really help you in terms of your competitive position against your peers. And, you know, for this reason, what I find very interesting is most indices are based on, they're cap weighted. The bigger companies have a bigger weight in the index. And so what that means is that index funds actually have the best strategy, because the biggest companies do the best in our credit system. And this is why only 20% of active managers beat their index. Whereas in the gold space, it's actually the opposite, right? The bigger the company gets, the clunkier it gets. And so the indices, which are constructed the same way, they have the biggest companies in their most highly weighted in their index. It's sort of the worst strategy. And so it's the one space where I think the little guy or the manager of an active fund can actually beat the index quite handily, and that does happen in the gold space. So I think it's a unique characteristic that investors should be aware of.
Well, Dan, I do agree in the sense that if you're an individual investor and you can pick the good companies in this sector, you can perform way better than different ETFs like GDX or GDXJ. What companies right now are interesting you? We only have about a minute and a half, but are you looking certain sectors, certain companies? What's your favorites?
Yeah, well, what I have been doing over the summer was transitioning from the producers that had massively outperformed because the equity from being priced for bankruptcy to not being priced for bankruptcy. So you have this huge transformation of value into the development companies that hadn't really moved yet because they had to raise capital to reach other projects, which many of them. What's happened recently in this correction we've had over the last few months is a lot of those producing companies have really gotten hit. And so I'm actually cycling back into some of those winners I had before because I think they are much stronger than they were a year ago. And I think they've been unfairly hit by the gold price. And I think gold itself, I don't expect the correction to go too much longer. I mean, it depends how long the Trump boom lasts. But basically, I think all the economic forces driving gold to high price are still operating and will still serve to drive these things higher.
Well, that Trump economic boom is something that we're going to chat about in the next segment when I have you back on, because that really has been what's driving a lot of the base metals, the dollar higher. All these people are expecting not only Trump to be good for the U.S. economy, but also for inflation to creep back into the market. And we're seeing yields, even on the 10-year, continue to rise. It's an interesting market that we are in ever since Trump has come into office, and that's something that we are going to be continuing chatting about with Dan Oliver in the next segment. So everybody stick around, we're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pileski of the Pileski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick, president of Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we are fighting to end premature birth and birth defects along with the March of Dimes. You can do something today to give them tomorrow. Your support means programs, education, life-saving research, and a voice for families in a newborn intensive care unit. Together we can save babies' lives. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing our conversation with Dan Oliver, and now shifting away from the precious metals segment and looking at a more broad sense at the U.S. economy as well as at the markets. Dan, it seems like everybody is focused on what Trump is going to do when in power. We do have the Fed meeting coming up on December 14th, but quite frankly, it seems like investors are looking past that and saying, well, we all know that the Fed is going to raise, and what is Trump going to do when he comes into power? And the thing that the markets are pricing in is more inflation, infrastructure spending. We're seeing the dollar pop higher, which I find interesting. But people have faith right now that Trump is going to get the U.S. economy on track, kind of a Trump-type stimulus. What's your feeling on this?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I mean, before the election, we were all told if he won, the markets would tank and gold would pop $100, which actually happened the night of the election. It reversed by morning time. And the analysis now, which I agree with, is that he wants to cut taxes, which is basically, you know, it's a deficit finance task because he's not planning to cut spending. So I mean, this is a Keynesian idea of how you stimulate a deficit finance tax cut. He wants to do the $1 trillion of infrastructure spending plus a military buildup, Reagan style. And then what has gotten, you know, less commentary, but I'm certainly more focused on this, is he wants to roll back Dodd-Frank. Now, Dodd-Frank is a monstrous law like Sarbanes-Oxley, and it's horrible in what it does to free enterprise and small banks especially. One thing it does do, though, is it prevents the big banks from speculating with depositors' money in the markets, which I think is a good thing. And so if you roll back that part of it, which the banks are desperate to do, it enables the banks to get back into the credit bubble, you know, business, essentially. And so you've got three things that are both very, very credit positive. And I think for this reason, the market's popped, and I think that gold, as I've discussed many times, doesn't like the upside of a credit bubble. I mean, a lot of gold analysts are saying, hey, you know, he's going to print money. Gold should go up. There'll be more dollars. They'll be worth less. I mean, you know, that is true over long periods of time, but the dynamics are that gold goes down when you have a credit bubble, and it goes up when the credit bubble rolls over. And so I think this reaction makes sense, but I question really how dramatic it's going to be. I mean, the world is a very big place, and I don't think that building a few bridges and a wall is really going to change the overcapacity problem of China, the banking problem of Europe, which is in trouble partially because it's invested in all these Latin American commodity projects and everything else. So I don't know how much that will matter, and I also think that the analogies of Trump with Reagan are completely misplaced, and the reason is because Reagan came into office at the trough of a credit bubble. Interest rates were at cycle highs, which meant that all the credit had been wrung out of the system. The debt-to-GDP ratio for the entire country was 150%, which is low, and now you've got interest rates at cycle lows, at trough levels, and the debt-to-GDP ratio is enormously high. And the analogy that I drew in my letter I published on Monday, which is on my website, is if you look back at previous Republican presidents who came in at the tops of credit bubbles, you focus on Nixon and Hoover, because they came in basically the exact same time that Trump is coming in. Hoover arrived in March of 1929. The market cracked in October of 29. And what did he do? He increased spending by 50%. He lowered the tax intake by 50%. And he put in the Smoot-Hawley trade tariff to protect American workers against foreign goods. And that's more or less what Trump's program is, right? He wants to cut taxes. He wants to increase spending. And increase spending because it naturally increases. Entitlements goes up. He wants to spend all this money, infrastructure, military buildup. And then he's going to have to, I think, protect his Rust Belt supporters. I think a lot of what he said might have been rhetoric in the campaign, but the reality is that when China really rolls over, and it already is with the yuan collapsing, they're going to dump huge amounts of goods onto the market at deflationary prices, and that's going to, you know, destroy the rest of the Rust Belt unless Trump steps into the protectionist trade package, which, by the way, is what Nixon did. You know, Nixon, when he announced that he was temporarily suspending the gold standard, which he called a very technical measure, he admitted, you know, if you travel to Europe or you buy a European car, it costs more. It was a protectionist measure. Abraham Lincoln came into power after the Panic of 1857. He ran on a program of high tariffs to get British goods out and internal improvements. So this is a very old part of the Republican Party, Lincoln being the first Republican president. And I think the conditions are the same, and the outcome is going to be the same, which is that credit bubbles pop, and it doesn't really matter what you do. You can extend them, yes. TARP did that. QE did that, yes. But ultimately, they will pop, and I think that the imbalances globally are so huge that I find it unlikely that Trump is going to last 4 years without this thing coming down on his watch, which is unfortunate. It's not his fault, but he's going to be the fall guy.
Well, which could be interesting. And you say that credit bubbles eventually pop, which is true, but maybe Trump's tact here, which is almost changing the dynamic of the credit bubble, spending more on infrastructure, repealing Dodd-Frank, this could provide the market with a little bit more room to increase this credit bubble, could it not?
Oh, I think so. And so that's what the market is pricing in. But again, you have to think about not just the U.S. in a vacuum, but the whole world. Because, you know, we live in a global economy the same way the economy was a global economy in before World War One, and really the same way it was in the 20s, where you had basically a sort of modified global free trade structure, which broke down. I mean, what Smoot-Hawley did was it froze international trade in place, and so all the international banks that had financed that trade went under, and that brought in a really crunchy part of the Great Depression, which, by the way, were the best imaginable conditions for gold mining stocks. And so I think that's where we're headed. The question is, you know, how long does it take to get there? As you point out, these programs, I think, are conducive of credit, and this is why gold is weak right now. And I think judging how long it will take is a difficult a proposition. But I do think that if we think about what the Fed had to do in 2009 to reignite this bubble, the huge interventions, you know, guaranteeing $7 trillion of debt the first month, the QE programs, the TARP program, suspending market accounting, all those things they did. And think about now the size that we're in now and the magnitude of what you have to do to keep that thing alive. It becomes, you know, pretty enormous. And so is Trump's program going to get through Congress at a size where it can continue this thing going and get bigger? I have my doubts. I mean, it's certainly possible, but I have my doubts.
We also do need to consider that Trump said some pretty outrageous things during his campaign, and he's already started to go back on some of those, which, quite frankly, is nothing new for a politician or somebody who comes into power. But Trump does seem pretty stuck on going down at least some of the roads, and the markets are always going to look forward. But Dan, as a quick comment, I know that we could go all day about this. Do you think that the market is overpricing these moves, seeing copper run this much, seeing the U.S. dollar this high, seeing yields on the 10-year pop this much?
Yeah.
Is it all overdone?
I think for the yields and the dollar, it's not euphoria. I think what that is it's ex-U.S. borrowers in the emerging market who borrowed in dollars against domestic assets. They're being squeezed. As rates go up, their loan terms get worse, and so they have to sell assets and goods to pay it. And so that's actually a sign of the emerging market blowing up, which is why you see the emerging market stock indices and currency doing very badly. So I think some of these things are not euphoria. I think they're very dangerous signs. And I guess it's one reason why I think this burns itself out very fast.
All right. Well, Dan, it's always enjoyable chatting with you. Some interesting comments on the gold sector, as well as what we could see when Trump finally does take office. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back with a first-hand look at mining in Australia with our good friend Quentin Penny.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hi, Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Have you ever wondered why farmers can keep their livestock lean and healthy just by feeding them minerals in a nutrient-dense diet? Before markets, they cut off their minerals, leaving them to crave high-calorie grains to fatten them up. So if weight control is this easy, why does the medical system prescribe invasive surgical gastric bypass for humans? The truth be told, according to research, you can avoid over 900 different diseases just by getting 90 essential nutrients daily. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com and order your healthy start pack and get your 90 for life. Or dial 855-301-TEAM. I said essential, not optional, and every day. Easy. 90 for life on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com or call 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. That's 855-301-TEAM. Check us out on the web at sonsoflibertyteam.com. At sonsoflibertyteam.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, we're going to take a closer look at the mining environment in Australia. I think there are a number of investors who know that Australia has a very predominant mining industry, and there are a number of companies, both exploration through development and production, that have been operating in Australia for a long, long time. And that's why I want to get a little more information, a more boots-on-the-ground look from Quinton Henning. He is the president and CEO of Novo Resources. Novo has a couple properties in Western Australia, and they are exploring for gold. I actually had an update with Quinton earlier this week on the KEReport.com website that you can click on and hear what Novo has been up to. But Quinton, before we get into this, I just want to outline a couple mining facts in Australia. Currently, mining generates about $138 billion per year, which is about half of the total goods and services in Australia, contributes 6-7% of Australian GDP. It is also one of the world's largest producers of many minerals, including aluminum, gold, copper, iron, zinc, and coal. So, Quinton, let's start it off by getting your impression. What is it like to be dealing with Australia in terms of a exploration company?
Sure, Corey. Australia is
or I should say Australians, are acutely aware of how much mining means to their economy. I would say more so than anywhere else on earth. Used to be in Canada, you know, people had a very concrete grasp of how mining affected the economy, say in Ontario or somewhere. That seems to have gotten lost more so recently. But in Australia, you know, you can hop in a taxi cab and the guy will know details about the mining industry, you know, the iron ore mining industry, the gold mining industry. These people, you know, they live it, they breathe it. It's truly part in their bloodstream. We have had good experience in Australia. We are a gold company. We're an exploration, company, stage company. So we're a little company compared to a lot of the big, big mining companies in Australia. In our immediate neighborhood, we have many iron ore mines. The Newman Mining Camp, which is about 200 kilometers south of us, you have mines belonging to Rio Tinto and BHP. You know, absolutely huge mines. There was one recently built by Gina Reinhart's company called Hancock Prospecting. It's called the Roy Hill Mine, an absolutely enormous iron mine. I think it produces something like 55 million tons a year of direct shipping ore. The experience we've had in Australia so far has been positive. We find that working with regulators, working with contractors and so forth, is relatively straightforward. It did take a little while to get our trial mine permitted, but it was mainly because they simply wanted to review it as if it were a full-scale mine. And in all essence, we're now probably going to be able to streamline our commercial-scale mine at some point much quicker because of that thorough and precise review done by the regulatory authorities. So they're quite easy to work with. We find it is a bit more expensive to work in Australia. Prices are higher, labor is higher. You have a smaller workforce. The population of Australia is around 23 million people. And it doesn't have an open border policy by any stretch. So you really have a tight labor market. Even when the economy takes a bit of a tick down, you find that the number of people available to work is limited. I would say that alone accounts for a lot of the increased expense in working in Australia. You know, but if you can get past that, it's an absolutely delightful place to explore and build mines.
Well, Quentin, I guess one aspect from Australia is, yes, it is slightly more expensive to work in, but dealing with the regulators and even dealing with some of the native groups in Australia can be much easier than some of the places that are cheaper to work. And quite frankly, it's much safer to work in Australia. Can you take us through how the Australian regulators deal with some of the native groups? Because I know even in Canada here, they can really hold up a project.
Yes, they can. Look, there's a process in Australia that sets it apart from Canada. And, I want to be quite, open here. We have, like, personally, I've had no bad experiences working with the native title parties in Australia. We have several Aboriginal communities in our area. But there is a process, and it's a well-defined process, where if a mining company engages a native title party and there's discussion around, say, a royalty or, getting a tenement granted or something like this, that the timeline for that just can't go on forever, that there is an obligation on the native title party and the mining party to come to a conclusion within a certain amount of time. If they cannot, then it goes up the ladder and the government does get involved, and it helps mitigate some of these really protracted mind-killing scenarios that you have in Canada lately. So I find it a lot easier system to navigate.
Okay, so Quentin, Australia is a very large country, and that's something that needs to be considered. And when I'm looking at a map right now, looking at the mining industry as a percentage of the population that works for mining companies and also where a lot of the mines are, you can see Western Australia as a standout in terms of mining activity. Why is that?
You know, look, it's really the resources, where it's geology. you have some of the, one of the biggest sedimentary basins of the Paleoproterozoic era. It hosts enormous, I kid you not, resources of iron ore. When you drive across the Pilbara, you can see in an instant there is enough iron ore there for hundreds of years of production. So that's, you know, in iron, that's the mother of all iron on Earth. And in terms of gold, you have the Yilgarn Craton, absolutely enormous granite greenstone terrain, multiple greenstone belts, each of which hosts, you know, one or more multi-million ounce gold deposit. Absolutely prolific gold country. So geology is what really drives the you know, resource base in Western Australia.
Quinton, can you wrap us up by taking us through some of the metals that are primarily found in Australia?
Yeah, sure. Look, I would say, you know, first and foremost, iron. I mean, you know, of that 100 and some odd billion of revenues in minerals that you mentioned earlier, iron is a lion's share of that, you know, hands down. Gold would be second. You know, if you expand that and look at other resources, you know, besides metals, you got coal, you've got oil and natural gas, which are quite large in Australia. People don't think of it necessarily, but they are. In eastern, you know, Australia and Queensland, for example, coal is a huge industry. In terms of other metals, Australia contributes still considerable base metals like zinc, you know, from the sedimentary hosted zinc deposits in the eastern half of Australia. You've also got copper coming from deposits like Olympic Dam and other IOCGs and VMS type systems throughout the country. You know, one of the bigger booms that's been had in Australia in recent time is lithium. There's a number of lithium rich pegmatites, spodumene bearing pegmatites that people have found. These are junior companies that have gone out and acquired pegmatites that are, you know, now have market caps of tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, Quinton, I appreciate you shedding some light for maybe those people who were not so well versed in the mining history and current mining activity in Australia, but then also for those people who understand that there is opportunity and it is an attractive place to be exploring and producing, but just didn't have a chance to look into it. So I appreciate your time, Quinton. Everybody stick around. We are going to be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Is negative content or comments on the web affecting your personal or professional reputation? Unfavorable comments, embarrassing pictures, videos, legal documents, and negative articles can ruin your personal life, your career, or your business. It happens a lot, and it's just not fair. But what can you do? ReputationDefender.com can help protect your good name. Get a free consultation now. Call 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Call right now for a free expert reputation analysis. It's easy to squash the unfair attacks with our patented system, and the analysis is absolutely free. Make the best things about you jump out in searches. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation analysis from ReputationDefender.com right now. Call 800-831-0771. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com today.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to FortressClothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code RADIO and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Then what we're going to do is discuss the gold market, but more from an international sense. I have on the line with me Jeffrey Christian. He is the managing partner of CPM Group. So, Jeffrey, I want to start talking about first China. You travel to China multiple times a year. You have a couple pretty big clients over in China. China has been kind of brushed aside recently, I think, from a lot of the pundits in terms of the precious metals, and that's why I want to revisit it. There have been some stories talking about the Chinese gold demand that has been dropping throughout 2016. When you go over there next week, what's some of your assessment? What are you going to be talking to the Chinese about regarding the precious metals?
Well, I think there's a whole range of issues. One of the issues is obviously going to be the Chinese across the board, as are people around the world, are very uncertain about what the new presidency in the United States will mean to the economy and everything. So there's going to be a lot of questions about that. But if you look at the Chinese gold market, yeah, you know, the Chinese gold market has seen weaker demand 2014, 15, 16, with a lot of investors sort of pulling back their horns. Part of the discussions that we'll have are what can be done to help encourage investors to continue to see gold and, to a lesser extent, silver as a integral part of a diversified modern wealth portfolio as well as investment portfolio. You know, I think that there's a view among the millennials in China, as there are in many other parts of the world, that gold is perhaps, you know, your grandfather's investment and you shouldn't necessarily look at it. And I think that that is something that needs to be countered, that the rise of that attitude needs to be countered in China and elsewhere with some very good, you know, quantitative as well as qualitative theories and rationales for keeping gold in your portfolio. And so a big part of our discussions next week are going to relate to that sort of market infrastructure capacity building.
So, Jeff, firsthand experience from you, have we seen a shift in the Chinese investors' mentality towards the precious metals and taking more of a positive look at kind of the financial assets, much like what we're seeing with a lot of Western investors?
Yes, I mean, you know, if you look at the gold market, China and India combined have been half of the investment market over the last several years. And in both India and in China, you do have this situation where millennials and, to some extent, older baby boomer generation type people have been looking at gold as not necessarily making sense. And there's been a shift in assets away from gold into bank CDs, bank deposits, investments, ETFs in some cases, and stocks. And so you are seeing that growing modernization, if you will, of investment portfolios in China as you are elsewhere. And it's really, it's having a measurable effect in reducing the amount of gold that investors are buying.
Now, Jeff, from a Chinese investor mentality, you mentioned how demand has been decreasing essentially since 2013. Is there one reason or a couple reasons that you can pinpoint why this demand is going down, other than that shift away into more financial assets?
Yeah, I mean, there are several reasons. And, you know, one of them is this longer-term secular shift as the economy and the financial markets and the financial system in China continue to modernize. But I think another major factor is just cyclicality. When the price of gold fell sharply in 2013, you had a lot of Chinese investors buying a tremendous amount of gold. You know, the gold price started 2013 at 1680. It dropped down to 1580 in January, early February, and it didn't bounce back, and then it dropped down to 1280 in April. And at that point, a lot of investors in China loaded up on gold, saying, you know, it's 1280, this is a very cheap price. And then the price stayed weak for the next 3 years. And it went lower down to, you know, what, $1,045 at the end of last year. And in that decline caused a lot of investor disenchantment with gold. Now, at the same time the gold price was falling in 2014 into the middle of 2015, the stock market in China was rising and rising sharply. And so you did see money shifting out of gold into the stock market, because the way our clients tell us, explain it to us, you know, Chinese investors are all in kinds of investors. When they're interested in the stock market, they put it all into the stock market. When they're interested in gold, they put it all into gold. And they don't think in terms of a diversified portfolio. So the first half of last year, when the stock market in Shanghai was going parabolic, we were saying, well, why don't you take some of your money out of the stock market and buy some gold? Because gold price is very low at this point. And the answer was, no, we don't do that. You know, we're going to keep it all in the stock market. And when the stock market looks like it's going to fall, we expect to be the first one out the door. And the stock market did fall sharply throughout the second half of last year into January of this year. And one of the things that I think has concerned a lot of gold market participants in China is that as the stock market fell, you didn't see investors pulling money out of the stock market and going into gold. They were pulling money out of the stock market and putting it in interest-bearing assets instead. And I think a lot of people in the gold market in China had thought that the Chinese investors would come out of the stock market and into gold. And when they didn't do that, it was a moment of reflection in the Chinese gold market. What can we do to convince these people that gold still makes sense as a modern preservative as well as investment?
So one final comment regarding China and gold. Do you think that the Chinese will come back to the gold sector in even just half of the ferocity that they did back when the price dropped in 2013?
I think they will. You know, again, it's, you know, the decline in interest in gold has been due to a mixture of, you know, long-term secular changes in the society as well as cyclical factors. And those cyclical factors will change. They may be changing already. You know, it may be 2018 before they shift. But I think that what you will see is that Chinese and other investors will step up their interest in gold when the economic and political environment tells them, hey, you really should have some more gold in your portfolio than you do today.
All right, Jeff, moving away from China. Let's look at what's going on in Europe this upcoming Sunday, potentially tomorrow when this airs on the networks, with the Italy referendum. What are some of your concerns or maybe even positive factors that you could see impacting gold as we move into next week?
I think you're already seeing it. I mean, if we're looking, you know, we're talking on Thursday, and the gold price has been weak Wednesday and Thursday of this week, and the dollar has been strong. And one of the reasons I think that you're seeing dollar strength and gold weakness is that investors in Europe are much more focused on the Italian referendum than, say, investors in North America. And you know, if the constitutional referendum is voted down, Matteo Renzi, the prime minister, has said he will resign. And I think that that movement, if that occurs in Italy, that would send shock waves across Europe. Just the same way that Brexit and Trump's election have sort of sent shock waves around Europe and to some extent the rest of the world. It would be another sign of the extent to which investors and voters are willing to say, no, we're looking for small, ever smaller political units rather than ever larger ones. And so I think that the Italian referendum that Matteo has called for, he is very similar to Cameron calling for the referendum in England. He's put the entire European system up for a vote. And, it's one thing for Austria, which has been moving toward ever more conservative and ultra-conservative governance for several elections now. It's one thing for Austria to choose a ultra-conservative president. But if Italy, which is one of the more liberal political structures in Europe, if Italy says, no, we're not going to radically reform our political structure to accommodate participation in a broader world, I think that that sends a real shockwave through the markets, which would be pushing the dollar up at least initially, and it could actually contribute to weakness in gold early next week too.
Well, this dollar strength, I think, definitely has had its impact on gold, but I think there are a number of factors which even this week has pushed gold below some pretty important technical levels, one being 1180 that we have been watching closely. And people do need to understand that this downtrend is still very much in place. Jeffrey, always enjoyable chatting with you. Thank you for joining us. Everyone, stick around for the second hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. Now there's finally a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. You can even add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's the Transcend Mini CPAP. And if you're one of the first 100 callers, you can try Transcend risk-free for 10 days. So call now, 1-800-441-9833. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light, you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. To guarantee your 10-day in-home trial, you must be one of the first 100 callers to call minicpap.com now. 1-800-441-9833. Again, that's 1-800-441-9833.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if there were no contracts, no activation fees, no tracking, tracing, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE networks. Introducing PixWireless.com. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, and unlock GSM phones instantly. Bring your own device and make the switch today. Here's how. Call or click 1-800-205-9513 or PixWireless.com. Spelled P-I-X. PixWireless.com.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's P-R-O-P-U-R-USA.com.